Good morning, happy housewives. This is Darla Shine. Welcome to the podcast for Wednesday, October 4th. I hope you're all doing great. I am here on my little mission, my rampage, to get all of us, all of our moms, calling Congress, calling Senate, calling your representatives to complain that we have got to have stricter laws in this country. And with me, I have Heather, who is in Seattle. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Darla. How are you?
I'm well this morning, except I'm really pissed off. I wrote a new blog. I want everyone to read it. It'll be on the main page today. What on earth is going on in this country? I can't get over the shooting, the execution-style shooting of these little Amish girls.
It's so disturbing to me.
It's so disturbing.
So sad.
It's so disturbing.
All of the shootings are disturbing, but when I read it was execution style and I read the ages, well, that was it for me.
Well, the reason why I'm particularly upset over this, because every week it seems like there's another shooting. But this now these people, these Amish people, have secluded themselves to live in this peaceful little society of their own, their own little community. And some crazy individual breaks into that community, goes into the school and does this. But what I wrote about in my blog, and what I want to know, is where is there any hope for us? When the man who's in charge of the Missing and Exploited Children's Caucus, the man who's in charge of deciding what happens to pedophiles, I mean, that man killed himself and killed those girls, but he was a pedophile. I mean, he wanted to rape those girls. So what are we doing to protect our children when the man who was in charge is a pedophile? The Congressman Rick Foley was out there sending sexually explicit emails to little boys.
Yep. I mean, really? Did he not think he was going to get caught?
First of all, number one, how stupid can you be? All these politicians who can't – that's my phone that's off the hook? Yeah. All these politicians, they always email people. Are they that stupid? It just goes to show you who's in office.
Well, did they not learn anything from the whole Bill Clinton thing?
Be discreet. Don't screw your intern in the Oval Office. Don't email boys from the Congressional Hall.
I really don't. I think they think they're above the law.
Heather, you're breaking up. Heather, you're breaking up. I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yeah, I guess that's better.
I'm sorry. That was weird.
That was weird. I hope we have a good line here.
Weird.
I hope we have a good, clear line. But we're working with Skype, which is, just for our ladies to know, this is a down and dirty, easy way for us to all connect that's for free, that is really, I think, the best way to go. But sometimes, because it is going through the computer line, sometimes we have interference. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry.
But anyway, so I think that as mothers, we should be outraged. There has to be a way that if we make enough of a stink and demand stricter penalties, that, I mean, what's going to happen to this guy Foley? Is he even going to get arrested?
I have no idea. I don't know. I would be shocked, actually.
Well, I went to meganslaw.com. There's a website, Megan's Law, and you could look up, you could put in your address and find out who are the sexual predators in your area, convicted felons who went to jail, okay, for crimes against children. And you can find out where they're living. You could get their addresses. You could get their photos. What are you doing?
I had to check on my daughter.
Oh, how is she?
She's fine. She's drinking
some
milk.
I heard
this
with the microphone. But do you know about that website, Heather?
No, I did. And as soon as we moved into the new house, I checked. And there's someone maybe within a mile, which did not make me happy. But I think no matter where you live, you're going to find someone. But
no, this is exactly it. No matter where you live, you're going to find someone.
Yeah.
Is this problem worse now than it was 50 years ago, 30 years ago? I don't know.
Or do we know about it more?
Right. Well, and you know what? You see Oprah and all these people on TV who are all saying, you know, as children, they were molested, they were, you know, raped, they were abused. And so maybe back then this was going on. It's just that nobody spoke about it. Nobody knew it was going on. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, Heather. When I was a kid, I used to put my bikini on. I would walk a mile to my best friend Carla's house as a teenager and go in her pool. Mm-hmm. I never worried about getting kidnapped or raped. No one ever tried to assault me.
Nope.
You know, it just wasn't even thought of, right?
Well, you know, I can remember my parents were kind of, I want to say maybe a little overprotected in that they used to always be very careful. Where are you going? What are you doing? And they would say things like, I don't want you to get kidnapped. You know what I mean?
How old are you?
I'm 34. I'll be 35 in February. But it was funny because I'd say, oh, mom, you're silly. And then now I look at it and I think, oh, my God, that, you know, it didn't happen nearly as much as it did now. I mean, it seems like every day you hear something on the news.
Every single day. And
an Amber alert, a kid getting raped, someone, you know, I mean, it's all the time.
Right, but I think that there has to be stricter penalties. In Singapore, if you steal gum, they chop off your hand. In America, if you rape a child, chop off the dick.
Yep.
Chop it off!
I agree.
Give a big axe to the mother, put that penis right on top of a big log, and let her whack it off in the middle of town square. That's what I think.
You know, hang them up by their balls and let them use them for target practice.
No, but
I don't know.
Castration is, I am for castration for any man who would rape a child, period. First of all, rape in general, they should go to jail for life. But a child in particular, yeah, they should be castrated. And, you know, I think I'm pretty open-minded and pretty liberal with my thoughts. I'm really against the death penalty. I don't want to kill anyone, but I am all for chopping off their wiener.
Well, you know, I have a friend of a friend who is a psychiatrist. And she told me that once, she said there's lots of pedophiles out there that don't actually molest children. They have the thoughts, but they don't act on it. But she said once a pedophile acts on it and molests a child, it's virtually 100% that they're going to re-offend again. They
right.
can't.
It's
an obsession
rate.
To them.
Yes.
It's this dark. She's like, you just can't. You can lock them up for 20 years. It doesn't matter. They are going to do it again.
They're going to do it again. And, you know, I have to believe, and I don't know, this is my own theory. This is the Darla theory. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to back it up except for all the information I've read through the years, that children who were abused were abused. Mm-hmm. So this is just a cycle of abuse that continues to go. And so what happens is this person who killed these Amish girls, I believe that he must have been abused as a child to cause him to molest and abuse.
I completely agree with that.
So, you know, and it just, I don't know how we can do it, but there has to be some way to check up on what is going on in the homes in America. Look at Patty Duke, this famous actress on Father Knows Best. That was a show in, what, the 50s?
Yeah.
Right? And
right,
here
yeah.
she was being sexually abused all that time while she was an actress. She has a book about it. I read her book. And, it happened back then, but you couldn't talk about it. You couldn't tell anyone.
Yep.
You know,
Did the guy in the Amish camp, did he molest? I know he intended to.
He wanted to rape them. The police got there
before he was able to rape the girls. Because, I read that he brought, like, paraphernalia and stuff to, you know, rape them. But I didn't hear that he actually did. Okay.
You know, and his poor wife.
But did you
see the way he looks? Girls, did you see how androgynous he is?
Yeah.
He was like a she-man looking kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of people scare me.
Yeah,
married to a she-man, androgynous man, run for the hills.
Run for the hills. I think that as women, especially as mothers, we need to trust our intuition. You know, I mean, I've been out with my daughter places, and there have been men who wave or whatever, and it's completely harmless. I don't feel any, you know, weird vibes. And then I get bad juju from other men. So I think you have to, and there's no explanation other than I just don't trust it. And I think we need to really learn to sort of trust if we get a weird feeling when we're out with our kids.
I don't trust anybody.
My rule is
I don't trust anyone. I assume all men are pedophiles until they prove me differently.
Yeah, I mean,
just don't trust anyone. I would never – isn't this sad? Isn't this sad? But I won't even sign my son up. I won't sign him up for Boy Scouts because I don't trust any of these men unless it's my family that I know very well. Of course, my husband and my father, and that's about it. Maybe, you know, my very close circle of best friends, their husbands. But I know all these people, Heather, your baby's too young, but all these people who, like, have their kids sleeping out of sleepovers all the time. My kids are not allowed to go to sleepovers. Period. That's it.
Yep.
I mean, how do I know? Seriously, you think that, look at all these pedophiles. Look at all these men. They look like the men next door.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are 9 times out of 10.
Right. So I'm going to go let my kids sleep around town at all these sleepovers. Everyone has their kids at different sleepovers. No way.
No.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust anyone. And I, you know, most people, I just, they have to prove to me that they're trustworthy before I would even let them into my inner circle.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, and I mean, I think, and the sad thing too, is you can think it's a religious thing. Well, if I met him at church, no, it doesn't matter. It can be anywhere, you know, I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. If I think that we as moms, if we got together and we started demanding stricter penalties
for our children,
that's the only way we can have anything done in this country. We have such political power. I beg you, all of you moms, to write to your congresspeople, get online, go on the internet, usgov.org, usgov.com. Go to these sites. Email. It's so easy to write a letter saying, you know, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do to make sure that my children are safe? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. There has to be. Why do these pedophiles get out of jail so easily? Why can't they just stay in there? You rape a child. You're in there for life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when we know that the recidivism rate is virtually 100%. You know, I mean.
It's ridiculous.
I would be enforced sterilization or lock them up. Because, you know. Who was it that someone posted on the boards that said they saw someone on Oprah talking and it was a therapist or something? They said, well, you know, when has someone paid their penalties to society if they've raped a child? And the quote was, when the child forgets, you know, that's when you paid your debt. I'm like, yeah, it's nobody, you don't ever get over that.
I don't see how you could get over something like that. I'll tell you, I think that rape is the most horrific crime that there is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most violating thing that could happen to you. It's horrific for any woman. And, you know, for anybody to have that happen to, never mind a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a heterosexual woman and I love sex with my husband. But that penis is a scary looking thing to begin with. Imagine being a little kid and having to look at that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have nightmares the rest of your life.
Well, you want, here's a story. When I was 6 and my sister was 3, we were with my mom, and my mom was attacked by a rapist. Fully nude, fully erect. I was 6 years old, and I saw that was the first time I ever saw an erect penis.
Wait a minute. Your mother was raped?
No. My mom kicks some ass. We fought him off, and we took off for the hills and made so much noise that he ended up taking off.
Oh, my, what a horrible story. And you were 6?
I was 6 or 7. I mean, I remember it was during the summer, and it was either second grade. So
was
I was six
this
or
a
seven.
Man that you knew?
No, we were literally walking the dog in the park, you know, and my sister was 3 or 4, and it was really traumatic. My parents immediately got us both with a child psychologist because they knew, oh, they're like, oh, this is going to mess with our kid's mind. It was horrific.
And so you're walking along with your mother in the park. Was it daylight or nighttime?
It was daylight. I mean, it was probably like 6 o'clock, but it was
during
the summer.
And this is in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. And we had gone to a little kiddie parade. It was like the part of the little summer festival. And then afterwards, we were walking the dog in the park. And they had one of these like nature trails. So it was kind of through the woods, but I mean, it's in the park. And it's this path that's clearly marked.
Right.
And so we're walking along the trail with our puppy that was like maybe like 6 months old. Yeah. And we saw this guy and he was kind of odd, but we didn't really, I mean, I don't know if my mom realized it or just she thought, oh, he's sitting there, whatever. And then we came around the corner further down the path, and he had cut through the woods, and he was completely nude, fully erect, and tried to attack my mom. You know, I was trying to get my sister and I to come over him, and it was really awful. But my mom kicked some booty. She went to town on him and told us to take off running, and we all took off running. And screamed. She's like, you know, make some noise, screaming. So when we got kind of outside back to where the actual park was, we were done with the path. Then a bunch of guys went running into the park to kick some butt. They were trying to catch the guy. And, you know, we went across to the street. This is way before cell phones. We had to use the phone to call 911. And they never did catch the guy. But it was pretty traumatic. And, I mean, thank goodness my parents were smart enough to take us to a psychologist right away. But I think it affected my sister even more than me. I think because she was 3. I mean, that was really formative years.
And what about your mother?
Oh, my
mother. How did she get past it?
She saw a therapist too, you know, and I think she, you know, she was obviously, you know, scared out of her mind and, you know, but yeah, I think it took a lot of, you know, I mean, therapy for her too, even though she wasn't actually raped. I think she felt violated. I think she felt like, you know, her kid's innocence was violated.
And this is an amazing story. And it just goes to show you that, I mean, this happens in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
I was, when I was working in Manhattan as a television producer, 1 year I was working, you know, on a late night show.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take the train home I'd get on the 11:30 p.m. train, which is fine. I mean, everyone thinks New York is like this crazy place, but it's really not. You don't get murdered unless you're mm-hmm. in like the bad parts of the city. So I'm on the train and some man, this nice-looking, dressed-up guy in a suit sits down in front of me, and I look across, and his penis is laying on the seat. He actually had cut a hole out of his suit bottom pant of his pants. Do you understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And had pulled his penis through.
Mm.
And it was just laying there, and I got up. I was so nervous.
Well, I'm sure the train was virtually empty.
The train was virtually empty. I thought I was going to be raped. He didn't even, like, do anything to me. He just looked me in the eyes. I got up. I went into the next car. And I don't even know why, but I didn't even tell the conductor. I just got in the next car, left, and got off the train when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing this person look me in the eye freaked me out for, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
Knowing that that penis was there, he looked me in the eye, it was scary. So I can't imagine how your mother dealt with that. That's got to be horrible.
Yeah, it took her a while, I think, you know, I mean, but.
But just having your body not violated, that is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
From what I'm hearing, so many people have these horrific stories.
Mm-hmm.
I feel lucky that nothing ever happened. Thank God.
Well, and, you know, I mean, don't they say it's one out of every four? Or is it one out of three now? Women will be raped by the time they're 18 years old. That's what's even more traumatic.
Well, I read one out of three. Not raped, but raped or molested.
Yeah, right.
Right, one out of three. I don't know. To me, is that statistic real? I don't know if that could be that high.
Because I don't know.
I'll tell you, all the girls I know, I don't know anyone who was raped or molested.
No, I'll tell you, when I was in high school, I was the editor of our paper when I was a senior, and I did an article about rape in teenagers, and I interviewed two or three girls that I know that had been raped or molested, but we changed their names, and the day that it came out in our little senior high school, there was probably like 1,000 kids.
That took guts for you to write that.
It did. I did.
You didn't get suspended?
Oh, no. They were fine with it, you know, I mean, as long as it was tasteful.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting in class, and there was a girl that was sitting next to me, and she was just weeping, like at her table, just crying. And I looked at her, like, what's wrong? And she pointed to the article. And so I'm like, let's go to the, you know, so we went to the bathroom, and she said her brother had been raping her for years. Years. I mean, I think it happens more. I think people just don't talk about it. And what was even more appalling was she told her parents, and she came from a Mormon family. Now, I'm not trash talking the Mormons. This could happen in any family. So her parents said to her, you're too pretty and you brought it on yourself.
Oh, my God. That poor baby.
And her father.
Did anyone
help
get this?
No, she didn't want, because I said, let's talk, since she didn't want to. Her father was a well-known physician in the area. And said, you know, I mean, so, you know, you would think here's a family that they've got a beautiful home. They've got four or five great kids.
Mm-hmm. Right. But what, do you have any guilt over that? I mean, do you feel like you should have went and told the authorities?
You know, I did as much as I could. I think, you know, I even talked to my parents about it. Yeah, I did, although I didn't say who it was. I said, somebody I know at school. And they were all like up in arms. Like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, all I can do is help her, I guess. You know what I mean? Because she was afraid that her dad would then lose his medical license. And then what's going to happen to the rest of my family? And she just, you know. I don't know. I mean, I tried and tried and tried. And that's all I could do, I guess. I mean, I wasn't going to.
That's terrible. You know.
I know.
But, you know, this is what you said about people not talking about it. What I hope to do with the Happy Housewives Club, I don't think anyone's going to come out, obviously, and expose any horrific things that have happened in their life. But I want women to feel like they could talk to us and get support if something bad is going on, if they need help with something. That's why I created the Mommy 911 page.
Well, and I think, you know, now that we're adults, we can say, okay. I think it's so much different when you're a teenager, you know, or you're a child. When you're an adult, you know that there are, or at least hopefully we can let the people know via the website that, yeah, there's help out there, there's resources for you, and you don't have to tolerate this, period.
Right. There's help out there for a physical abuse, for emotional abuse, for sexual abuse. And it's so upsetting to me. And women, so many women, and let's put it this way, I've gotten a lot of flack from the feminists who say that when I suggest that women could go home and raise their families, they're making them vulnerable to these types of situations, which is bogus, which is ridiculous. You know, I think that you can be home raising your kids and not be abused.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we need to raise our daughters. Seriously, it's the mothers. I think we need to raise our daughters with self-worth and value and the knowledge that they don't have to take any kind of crap, that they don't have to hide, that they can go tell an authority, that they can tell their mommy. But girls, they have to be able to turn to their moms.
Mm-hmm.
Like your friend, she turned to her mother, and what did she do for her? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the other thing, too, is when feminists say, well, if a woman stays at home and has no income of her own, then she's susceptible. That's crap, because there's plenty of women out there who work full-time jobs, probably, maybe I'm making a generalization, in lower-paying jobs, but there's plenty of women who work out there whose husbands take the paycheck immediately, give them $20, and say, make this last you until your next payday. So you can't tell me that they're not just as susceptible and vulnerable, even though they're making their own money.
Let me tell you, abuse doesn't cross, you know, any lines of wealth or not wealth. There are women who are, you know, at the top of the spectrum who are being abused, women at the bottom, children in wealthy houses who are being abused.
Yep.
I mean, look at the Gala boys.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
And the Menendez boys. The Gala boy lived on Long Island. I don't even think you know that story, but this is a boy who killed his parents on Long Island who said he was being raped and abused. They lived in a very rich house.
I know the story. Mm-hmm.
The Menendez boys, you know, they're saying they're being abused and they're living in Beverly Hills.
Yep. So no, I think it doesn't cross any economic line. And I think to say that just because someone's staying at home doesn't make you more susceptible. I think it happens regardless of the lifestyle that you live in, whether you're working.
It happens regardless. Yeah. And you know what? If you're home, I think you know more what's going on in your family's life.
Mm-hmm.
I think you pay attention more.
Yeah.
I think that one of the big problems we have nowadays in this society is that moms, there's nobody home with the kids. They're home after school, they're doing drugs, they're smoking, they're having sex in the house. I think that if more people, if there was a family member home.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
I just think that it's more natural for the mother. Yes, is that sexist? Whatever, I believe it's true. I think that if mothers were home to see what's going on, maybe things would be a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, you know, I think you're more in tune with your child if you're there all the time.
You know,
from the minute they leave school, you know, to the minute they get home, you know what's happening.
Right. And last week on 2020, they did this show on the difference between boys and girls. And they said that the teenage years are so important that these brains, they're like these little soft, you know, pieces of clay that need to be molded and structured and given love and encouragement and praise. And look at what happened in, Columbine, when those boys went in and shot up the whole school. If you read their stories, okay, I was working. I mean, I was a producer back then, and I was reading all their stories, and one kid had a journal and all this information. And these children felt like these boys felt like they couldn't express themselves in society. They couldn't talk about their emotions. Their fathers were very strict. And they were being made fun of in school. And listen, I don't even know if their mothers were home. I don't even know what those circumstances are.
Right.
But the bottom line is we have to pay attention to the children in this country, to what's going on, and not just our own children.
Mm-hmm.
Open your eyes. See what's happening with the kids in your neighborhood, on your block. You know, pay attention. The other day I was driving home from picking up the kids from school, and I saw this girl, like a 14-year-old girl, jogging. And then I saw this van come over and stop next to her, and the guy was asking her a question. I kept driving. I'm like, oh, my God. I turned around. I made a U-turn, went back, pulled up behind the van just to make sure that he couldn't kidnap her.
Yeah. No, I would have done the same thing.
And this is how sick I'm getting. I can't even drive away.
No, unfortunately, we have to, because you're thinking, if that was my 14-year-old daughter, I would want someone to try and double-check.
Right. So open your eyes and see what's happening.
It's really important to check. If you have not just teenagers, any kids. I think if they're on the computer, you really need to know what they're doing too. I mean, my parents didn't have to worry about that, you know, pre-internet days. But with the MySpace accounts and all the pedophiles that prey online, I think you really need to pay attention to what your kids are doing on the internet.
Well, you know what? The thing that I don't understand is they can get into anyone's account. They know exactly what's going on the internet.
Yep.
There are people watching. You know, if a terrorist gets on there and says, you know, I want to shoot George Bush, immediately they would be at that person's house.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't they easily go after these pedophiles on the internet? It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I did see, on Dateline or one of these shows, it was the To Catch a Predator kind of thing. They weren't doing, but they were talking about how they do have some, like, it wasn't a national, it was some specific cities will have one or two police officers that try and monitor in their local area for kids. But I'm like, why can't they do that on a national level?
You're telling me that we can't install, that Microsoft and Apple cannot install a chip into computers where keywords put up an alarm code?
I would think so.
Come on. It's so easy that they could do it. There are 4 million porn sites. Well, they should take all the porn sites off the internet. I know a guy. I mean, he was married to my cousin. They are divorced now. But he made at least $20 million, a very wealthy man a year, $20 million a year on porn sites that he owned on the internet.
I know.
It's a huge money-making business. Why do we even need those sites? Just take them off.
Mm-hmm.
How is that good for society?
It's just, it's not.
You get rid of the pornographic sites. There is a site, I spoke about this on yesterday's blog. I just can't get over that there's a man love, man boy association.
NAMBLA. Somebody posted that on the, and let me tell you, because I started some stuff under the Hot Mama thing. I mean, I think I'm pretty up to what's going on sexual stuff. I'm like, what's NAMBLA? I didn't know. And then when I heard about it, it just made me want to vomit. I'm like, oh, no.
Right, North American Man Boy Love Association. So right there, any man who goes on that site,
no. They
can track him down. They have his credit card information. They should go to his house. He should be arrested. Mm-hmm. Period. You shouldn't even be allowed to think that way. It's, you just shouldn't be.
And I know that they're talking about this whole – my problem is, they're talking about protecting freedom of speech and – and that's fine and all, but when you start crossing the boundaries of trying to actually seek it out – that's where it becomes a problem, and you're trying to seek out boys to molest. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's got
to
end. So the best thing I could say for us, the best thing we could do, obviously we're protecting our children, but it means nothing if we're going to let our kids go out into society where they're going to be, they're going to be persuaded and run into kids who are being abused and neglected. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to all get on board, try and force our politicians to enforce some stricter rules and penalties to make sure that these pedophiles do not get out of prison.
Well, again, we're our kids' advocates. Nobody else is going to be. So,
right. No one else is going to care about your kid but you.
Nobody. I mean, nobody's going to – they might – I don't want it to be, just a headline in the 5 o'clock news. No, we have to do it for ourselves.
Have to do it, and I have to go jump into the shower. It's 11:26. I still haven't gotten off of this chair. I've been here on the computer all morning. So, Heather, you have a great day.
You too.
And I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Bye.